Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and God bless you, blessings and blessings to you. I hope you are having a very fruitful and a very wonderful Friday. It is May 26th, and it is 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. I hope all of you are well, and thank you so much for listening and tuning in to Personal Heart Studio. My name is Aaliyah Walker, and I am the owner, I guess you could say, of Personal Hearts, but God the Father is the founder. And Personal Hearts Radio was founded by the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave me the name for this organization. Personal Hearts, Inc. is a 501c3 that is recognized as a charity by the IRS. So any offerings or gifts of love that you give to Personal Hearts Radio is deductible at nalhearts.org, personalhearts.org. And my email address, if you need a Bible, or if you need prayer, or if you need any other assistance, you could always ask me. If you need agreement in prayer, if you need someone to fast with you, I would be more than happy to do that. So, God bless you again, and thank you so much for coming in to this show. So, the Holy Spirit has led me to talk about topics that are considered not popular, controversial to some, mass murder or suicide, and this week we are talking about abortion. And I know that is a highly sensitive topic because here in the United States specifically, abortion is considered my body and I have my rights. However, in most other countries, abortion is banned. So we want to discuss that. We want to discuss where and how, first of all, what is God's viewpoint on abortion? Because what you're talking about is there's a lot of different streams of thought about it. And I want to tell you that when it is an honor, it is a privilege to be blessed by God to carry forth another life in a womb. And what a lot of people don't understand is a child is the fruit of the womb, as the Bible says, but also a child will carry the mother's chromosomes, her DNA for life. A lot of people say, oh, you know, this baby is not a part of me. This baby doesn't have my DNA. My blood is not associated or is not affiliated or is not close with the baby, is not a part of the baby, but that's an absolute lie, even though from the mothers, that baby still carries the mother's DNA for the rest of its life as well as the father's. So you are carrying, you have the privilege of carrying this beautiful human being in your body, but and it is separate from your body, so you can say this is my body, my choice, but it's not your body. And it, although it is your choice, it is not your body. You're carrying a completely separate, independent person, and God has given you that honor to do that. So we want to delve into that a little bit. And I always like to give statistics because I do believe that we should be balanced people. You should not just, we should be spiritual, that should be number one, but you should also have a natural knowledge about things. A lot of people get in trouble because they want to avoid the natural laws and just abide by the spiritual laws. Now, the spiritual laws do take precedence over the natural laws, but you do have to acknowledge the natural laws, such as my personal belief, and I know this to be true, that God will not do for you what you can do for yourself. I hear even people in my own family, I hear, and also some acquaintances of mine, oh, God didn't come through for me when they unfortunately lost their home. And I ask, well, what do you mean God didn't come through for you? Well, he didn't help us save our house. And then I go a little deeper, and I go, well, what do you mean he didn't help you save your house? Well, we were needing the money to help save our house, but God didn't come through for us. And then I went a little deeper, and I found out that nobody was working in the house. And so God uses our hands. He instructs us. He says, if a man does not work, neither shall he eat. So God uses our hands. He uses our bodies. Nobody in that house was working a job. They were not, and, you know, and this is no one against if you're disabled. This doesn't apply to you, obviously, because people that are disabled are in the middle of work on fixed income. So that being said, these people were not disabled. They were not veterans, protected veterans. They did not have any of their limbs cut off. They were perfectly healthy and able to get a part-time job even, but they were unwilling to do so. So they blamed God for losing their house when God gave them a healthy body and the power to save their home by getting a job. So it is within our power. God said, my people perish because of lack of knowledge. He said, you lack knowledge, that's why you perish. We have to understand what the word of God says over a certain situation. So, and I was working a job, and along those lines, I would say this. Whenever I needed a job, I never ever lacked needing a job. I could get three or four jobs at a time because I understood that law, that if he enabled me to do what I can do, I'm not going to belabor. I'm not going to ask God for what he's already given me the power to do. I'm going to brush my teeth. I'm going to shower. I'm going to do the dishes. I'm going to clean my house. I'm going to do those things. He said, he that is faithful in little will also be He that is faithful in little will also be unfaithful in much. He that is faithful in little will be faithful in much, and he that is unfaithful in little will be unfaithful in much. It is highly important that we read the word of God so we will not get caught in the snares and the traps and the deception of the enemy. The enemy works by deception. He works by deception so he can trap you, and if he can't cause you to lose your salvation, which will be the topic of our next show, how can someone lose their salvation? If he cannot cause you to lose your salvation, he will cause you to think in a way that will trap you in stronghold into thinking the wrong way. That's why it is important that we read our Bibles every day. If you like to eat every day, then you should read your Bible every day, because the Bible is the word of God. It is food for your soul. It is a lamp unto your feet. It guides you. It wakes you. It keeps you. It preserves you. The word of God is highly important. And once you begin to read the word of God, he will begin to live you will begin to realize how much the Holy Spirit lives in us. You'll begin to realize how much your thoughts and your ways were can be a hindrance to the miracle-working power that God wants to begin in us. And the topic of our next show, not this next week, will be how to lose your salvation. The topic of our next show after that will be parents, because and I'll discuss it briefly, but my parents were not the best parents. So we're going to discuss how we can forgive our parents. But that'll be our topic in the next 2 weeks. But as I said, as I was saying along those lines about reading the Word of God, when you begin to invest, it's an investment. You are become wise for yourself. The Holy Spirit, the Father God, Jesus, they are the living Word. You become wise for yourself when you read the Word of God, and then you'll begin to understand, oh my gosh, I didn't know this about abortion. I didn't know this was wrong. I didn't know that is also a sin of witchcraft. I didn't know if I hated my brother to God, that is like murder. There are so many things that can get you in, that can trap you into hell. A lot of people are in hell for lying. A lot of people who did nothing wrong, they didn't smoke, they didn't drink, they didn't do drugs, they never harmed a soul, but they're in hell because they were normal. A lot of people are in hell because mostly for unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is one of the key things that the devil uses to trap people and to get them into hell. So if you unfortunately, or fortunately, because God forgives us, if you had to make the unfortunate decision to kill or to abort your child, that forgiveness is available to you. And I want to just give you some stats on which country, on which states. And as you know, this is a growing, this is growing as the coming of the Lord draws near. He is preparing his people for the rapture. He's preparing his people for the second coming. He is preparing us for what things to come. So we will not be here when the rapture happens and then the 7-year tribulation begins. So Wyoming, Indiana, Ohio, and South Carolina have abortion bans that have been blocked. Arizona, North Dakota, and Utah have mixed legislation about it, but it is still going. In some countries, we have some countries in Madagascar where abortion is banned altogether. You will be jailed if you commit, if you have an abortion in Madagascar. So these countries in which abortion is completely illegal or prohibited is in Haiti and Aruba. So these are countries that are outside of the United States. Jamaica, Palestine, El Salvador, Madagascar, and the Philippines. You know, so these are some of Senegal and Honduras. These are countries in South America and Central America. And so, unfortunately, we have some countries also. Brazil is considering it a crime to commit an abortion. Canada, unfortunately, they have abortions are legal in Canada and require no legal compelling reason. Russia, abortion is fully legal, unfortunately, up to the 12th week. And I'm not saying this, you can go and find a place to remove or to kill your child. What I'm saying is I want you to look at this from a biblical standpoint, but I also like to present facts. The biblical standpoint of abortion is God says that it is murder, it is wrong, and the person that does it, and this is from a biblical standpoint, and this isn't anyone, but this is a biblical standpoint, and this is the way the Holy Spirit, this is the way that the Bible says, this is the way that God sees abortion. God's views on abortion is that it is murder. It is killing a child, it is killing your offspring. And if you have done that, you have grace for forgiveness. All you have to do is say, Father God, I ask that you forgive me for the abortion or abortions that I have committed. Now, I do. You're going to say, oh my gosh, Leah, have you? No, I have never done that. But I have talked to people that have lost children. I have talked to people that have aborted their children. And those people that I have talked to are still suffering the aftermath of abortion. Now, I have researched this subject. I read the testimonies of people who have committed it, and there's not one person that I have not seen where their emotional life is where it should be. They are still, even years, 30 years after, they are still suffering the aftermath of this abortion. So if that is you, you can have forgiveness. All you have to do is ask. And I will say this, and I will say this because this information will save your life. If you have had an abortion and it was your choice, and you had about a miscarriage is not the same as an abortion. A miscarriage, unfortunately, is a loss of a child. And a miscarriage, as I said, is the spontaneous loss of a pregnancy for the 20th week. 10 to 20% of known pregnancies end in miscarriages. So it's a spontaneous loss of a woman's pregnancy. It's not a choice that a person makes to lose their child. It's a loss of a baby. So the miscarriage and an abortion are not the same thing. When a miscarriage happens, your embryo or fetus is spontaneously expelled from your uterus before your 20 weeks. So an abortion is when you voluntarily make the choice to abort or kill your child. So this, that is not the same thing. So if you have committed an abortion, you have that grace to ask God for forgiveness. So I also want to let you know that when someone has committed an abortion, that it is a sin, and that because when we do sin, we separate ourselves from God, and when we are separate from God, then we have the consequence of hell. And I know that's not a popular topic, but I want to tell you that because I want to save your life. This life is a dress rehearsal. When you leave this earth, and time is short, my sister has just turned 50, and I could remember when she was 16. She's my older sister, not by much, but she's my older sister. And I said, oh my goodness, if you're 50, how could you become 50 years old? And I said, it was in our family group chat, and I said, and they said, what, Ellie, are you calling, you know, my sister has four children, and she has four grown children. They go, what, are you calling, you know, my mom old? And I said, no, by no means. I'm just reflecting. You think you have time, but you really don't. We really don't have that much time. 50 years gone in a blink of an eye. And we have to do what we need to do now. We have to set out what we need to set out now. If God has told you to do something, do it now. If you need to forgive someone, forgive them now. Forgive yourself for what you have done. And if the person does not forgive you, that's okay. You have done your due diligence. You have done what you needed to do. Now you move on. You have done what is right before God. He acknowledges that. He recognizes that. If they don't forgive you, you move on. You did what you need to do. So in the case of of abortion, ask God to forgive you. And what I like to do, what I tell people is this. A woman who in my church suffered a miscarriage, she had twins, a boy and a girl. The girl survived, but the son unfortunately passed away. And it was, I think, her daughter was 16, 17 years old, and she was still crying about it. She was still suffering. And I said, you know that your child is still alive. She said, what? I said, do you think that just because your child died in your uterus, that The child is not alive. That child had a spirit from the moment it was conceived. And that's a scientific fact. If you want to look that up, the breath of life, there's a spark of light when that sperm is, you know, when the sperm is inserted into the egg, that spark of light happens and the moment at the moment of conception. So even though the woman may be a day pregnant, that is a living, breathing soul, and that God has already put his spirit in that person, even though you could be a day old. And she was upset about it, and she was crying, and I said, you know what, I want you to forgive yourself. It was not your fault that your child died. She goes, I know, but it could have been her fault. She had some issues with narcotics, so if she didn't have that, the child might have survived. So she was dealing with that, with that guilt that the devil brings on her, on people because of their bad choices. And I just told her that she needed to forgive herself and that she needed to name her child. And she goes, you should have saw the relief that that brought her when I told her that her child was still alive and that she should name that child. I've heard testimonies of people that have been to heaven, and when a woman has lost their child, their children are waiting for them to name them. They are alive, and they're waiting, and they go, well, what's your name? I don't have one. Why? My mother didn't give me one. So if you have miscarried, I want you, it's not your fault. If you have had an abortion, I want you to ask God to forgive you and to forgive yourself. But then the next step, which, you know, is voluntary, but I recommend it to people because it will help bring them closure. And as they live this life, your child will be waiting for you. If you've had an abortion, your child will be waiting for you in heaven, because that's where all babies go that are preterm, that die, stillborn, that are miscarried or aborted. They are in heaven, and the angels are taking care of them. I want you to name your child after you've asked God to forgive you and you have forgiven yourself. You will believe that it will bring you closure, and that child will run to you when, and they're waiting for you in heaven. So this person at church, I told her to name her child, and she goes, I always wanted to name my child with my son, and it has to start with the letter C. And I gave her two names. I gave her two options. I gave her Christopher and Colin. And she said that she liked Colin. So her son is named Colin, and that child will be waiting for her when she gets there. So I want you to forgive yourself if you had an abortion. I want you to ask God to forgive you, and I want you to name your child, because it is very important that you do. And remember, even though we have choices in this life, because God loved us so much, he gave us a free will. He wants us to love him freely. He doesn't want us to be programmed like the birds of the air and the fish of the sea. He wants us to love him freely. He wants us to reach out to him freely. So we have a choice in what we do, but our choices carry consequences. If you steal something, you can go to jail. If you commit murder, you go to jail. If you do this will happen. If you do positive things, this will happen. What your choices are, they make up your character and they determine your destiny. A lot of people are here by their choices. I know an acquaintance of mine who's living his third life. He had his first, I'm not saying that with any religion. I'm just saying that he had three phases. He has one life, but he's had three phases of his life. His first phase of his life, he was married young. The second phase, his wife unfortunately died after they were married for 40 years, and he's had to live with that. And the third, he's living his third phase right now, which is he wants to get remarried again. And so we have these things in our life where we make choices and consequences. Unfortunately, his wife's death was preventable, but she chose, it's a long story, but she chose not to see a doctor. And I tell people, God will not do what you can do yourself. And I tell you, if you One of the disciples was a doctor. One of the disciples was a lawyer. Get help. If your faith is not at the level where you can believe God for a complete healing, go to the doctor and get help. Her faith was not at that level where she can receive her complete healing because she had unforgiveness in her heart. So, and also, her and her husband were not on one accord, so God will not hear her prayers if she did not forgive her husband. So she did not, she probably had the faith, but it was blocked because she did not have, she had unforgiveness in her heart. So she waited all these years to go to the doctor, and when she did finally go to the doctor said it was too late. There was nothing they could have done. So if you have these issues in your body, if you don't have the faith to believe for complete healing, by all means, go to the doctor. Live your life. Life is a gift. If you've had a baby, you are. I honor you. I applaud you. I haven't had a child yet because I am not married, but I look forward to the day when God will send me my husband and we can have a child together. I know that will be very soon. I'm consecrated unto the Lord, but I do believe that if God has given you the desire to get married, he has someone for you. In the meantime, wait for that person. Wait for that person, because I will tell you this, and I have counseled and mentored young women that are younger than me. Life's not all about you just going, feeling, or men and women, it's not all about sexual relations. Life is more than that. And I tell women this, if you have the desire to be a mother at 18 or 17, get married first. If you don't have the desire to be a mother, I didn't have a desire to be a mother yet when I was in my teens. My sisters did, but I didn't. I wanted to go to school. I wanted to play sports. I did that. And I mentor people, I mentor women, and I tell them, you have a choice. If you want to go to school, if you want to be something, go to school, go to college, and then you might, God will bring your husband when you're in school, God will bring your husband after school. But fulfill, because God has put that desire in your heart, fulfill those desires in your heart. And then you can have a child. If you want to be a mother at 19, that is also something great. I think that's beautiful. If you want to be a mother is a high honor in being a mother. But I want you to fulfill God's desire for your life. Being a mother is an honorable thing, and I do believe people, women, when they haven't, when they get older, and they put their careers first, they realized what was more important. And I do believe that being, as a woman, as a girl myself, I do believe our highest calling is to be a mother. And I do believe that we were designed, that is our design, is to be a mother, is to carry a child in our womb and to nurture and to love that child. So I pray for you. And I love you. My show is ending in a little under 2 minutes. So I pray for you. I love you. I want you to be the best version of yourself. And you can only be the best version of yourself by making Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. I love all of you. I thank you for listening. And remember, forgiveness is key. It is key in this life. And there are so many people that leave this life thinking that if you forgive someone that you're hurting that person when you're really hurting you, because at the end of your life, you're going to be an audience of two, Jesus and you, not the other person. So forgive yourself if you had an abortion. Forgive yourself, name your child, and move on. I love you. God bless you. Thank you for listening, and I look forward to being with you next time. Have a great weekend.